when we talk about modern halacha, in contemporary life, we have a lot of travelers. And travel has become so common. You know, ships, cruises, planes, travel is relatively inexpensive these days. And distances, you know, people are traveling great distances. And many halachic issues in contemporary life have become pressing issues. And I'd like to address a few of those issues, one of which is going to be what we call a holiday at sea. People are, as you know, taking cruises. I hope I'll know which is mine. Okay, fine. Yeah, we'll find it. And there's an entire sugya about cruises, which I'd like to study with you. And what I found is, I don't know if you're familiar, we have a whole series here on the top left, which is called, if you look at it for a second, just so you know where it is, because it's absolutely fantastic, the Journal of Halacha in Contemporary Society, which is published by the RJJ School, Rabbi Jacob Joseph School. And I found an article here in which he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Yutes. And I'm going to read the English translation. You'll look at it a little bit later inside. We'll have to do some more photocopying. And he says, one is forbidden to embark on a journey by boat less than 3 days before Shabbos. And the Gemara says that this applies with two conditions, this prohibition. Number one, it means that he's going to continue his travel on Shabbos. So therefore, he's not allowed to leave and embark within that 3 day period before Shabbos. We'll have to see why. And number two, he's not going for a mitzvah. Sometimes he's, you know, representing the Jewish community in another country. The Gemara has all sorts of cases. Pidyon Shvuyim, he has to embark on a ship. We're not talking about that. It's a secular trip. You know, we could call it an holiday, a vacation, a holiday. And therefore, he's not allowed to leave on this ship within the 3 days before Shabbos. Now, there are a number of things that we're going to have to figure out. First and foremost, we have to answer the question, why not? Why did the Gemara say that that's prohibited? And secondly, we have to know, what does it mean when the Gemara says he's not allowed to embark less than 3 days on a boat? The Gemara doesn't seem to specify whether he's on the, you know, the high seas, he's on the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Mediterranean, what if he's crossing a river, is that also included? What about a small boat? What about a small trip? And secondly, how do you calculate 3 days? So first, Friday is definitely out, that's one. Thursday is definitely out. What about Wednesday? Wednesday is already 3 days, so I don't know, do I view Wednesday as within the 3 day period, or Wednesday still belongs to the beginning of the week?
Tuesday night.
Maybe Tuesday night. So first let's address question number one. What is the underlying reason for this prohibition? Thank you so much. So is there someone here, I'm looking for a volunteer, someone who's willing to take out a piece of paper? Let's first find some paper. Okay, that's the first the first favor I need, is to find paper. Is there anything in the back there that's empty? Like there's a one sheet of, yeah. Oh, excellent. If you turn to the back, David, you'll see an empty page. Am I right? So here's a pen, and now I just need a volunteer to make a list. Who wants to volunteer to make a list? Anybody have a nice handwriting? What?
All right, fine.
You don't mind, David?
David, okay.
He's going to write it in Australia. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're going to start this list with the Baal HaMa'or. Okay, so you can write it in English if you like. Baal HaMa'or. The Baal HaMa'or says that whenever you're out at sea, there's always a possibility of danger. And that possibility of danger, in a case of Shabbos, might force you to violate the Shabbos. Why? Because pikuach nefesh, you know, in a case where human life is in the balance, then we have to violate the Shabbos. So we don't want to put you in a situation in which you'll have to end up violating the Shabbos. Anybody have a problem with that?
Sounds like yes.
What's the problem?
I'm just walking in the street on Shabbos, and anything may happen. Someone may fall. So
yeah, I always say that the most dangerous thing in this country is crossing the street.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about Tefillas HaDerech. I always say that when I'm on the way to Ben Gurion Airport, I have to recite Tefillas HaDerech for the cab ride. You know, that's more dangerous than the plane. But I thought you would ask a different question. Again, let me go over the facts, because if I don't succeed in eliciting a question for you, then I'm a pedagogic failure. Here's what we're saying. The Gemara says you're not allowed to embark on this trip by ship on Thursday or Friday, right? So the Balamor says, because since there's a danger involved, you might have to violate the Shabbos. Anybody have a question to ask?
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday.
What do you gain by leaving on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday? I mean, if you're traveling over Shabbos and you're worried about Chil Shabbos.
What about the other days?
So the Balamor says that you're not allowed to put yourself knowingly in a situation where Chil Shabbos might be necessary. And if you ask the question Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, he says an unbelievable principle. He says, based on a Gemara Gittin, that those 3 days at the beginning of the week are called Me'achorei HaShabbos. They are tag-ons to the previous Shabbos. So we don't live within those days in the mental state in which we're anticipating what's going to happen at the end of the week. We're still busy thinking about last week. Why should that be relevant? I do not know. Yes.
Yeah, maybe we should consider the time when it was written. Because in the old time, you didn't take
here I have a problem. I'll tell you why.
Without a stop,
because the Balamor is applying what I call a conceptual principle. Again, Rabosai, you're not familiar with my approach to teaching and to learning. You know, you come to me one time a week, so I have this problem. I work with a certain methodology, so you can either accept it or reject it. My methodology is, whenever we study halacha, we have to differentiate between two categories. One is conceptual, and that has to do with definitions, abstract law, and the other is material or physical. The Balamor is applying a conceptual rule. He's breaking down the week into two. And this is a theoretical concept that has nothing to do with the time that the Balamor lived in. This is not sociological, historical. We'll get to things that are historical when we talk about contemporary cruises. But right now, we're setting up a conceptual framework. And the Balamor says that conceptually, the halacha requires you to think about what's coming in the future, and Shabbos is down the line. But that's only lifnei HaShabbos, not achorei HaShabbos. Right. So the law operates with a conceptual principle that is totally abstract. It is, we'll call it a divine decree, that there are two parts to the week. We split the week into two parts. When does halacha require that I begin to think? I begin to mull over and anticipate the next Shabbos? That's only when we get to lifnei HaShabbos. That's the second half of the week. There's something called me'achorei HaShabbos, which is attached to the previous week. Does anybody know which halacha is very familiar to all of us that defines me'achorei HaShabbos? Excellent, Jeremy. I miss you a lot. I don't know, the good old days. I remember those days very fondly. You know, Jeremy was always my right hand man. Havdalah, for example, Havdalah allows you to stretch into any period of time in the following week, which is called what? Achorei HaShabbos. And Achorei HaShabbos means up until Tuesday, but not on Wednesday. So if I didn't make Havdalah, I can't make Havdalah on Wednesday. That's the Balamor. Let's go on, Rabosai, because there are many, many other explanations. Now we get to Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel says the following, that the problem of traveling on a ship on Shabbos is Tchumen. Tchumen means that I'm only allowed to exit the city up until 2,000 amma. Let's call it a mile, okay? You know, or 2 kilometers, whatever you want to call it. And he says the following, that if you're going to travel on Shabbos, you're going to go outside the Tchum. Now, there are a couple of issues here. Issue number one is that the Gemara says that the Tchum of Shabbos only applies on the ground and not above the ground. Above the ground, we have halacha called 10 tfachim. 10 tfachim, which is approximately, again, I'm using American terms here, 35 inches. You'll have to convert it into millimeters or whatever you want to call it, correct? So how raised is the boat from the bottom? So the Rabbeinu Hananel assumes that it's at some points in the journey, the boat goes through very low waters, very... I think that's a good word. Low waters, do you follow what I mean? And it gets below this 10 tfachim, and at that point, we have to apply the rule of tchum. Now, once again, what question do we have to ask our Rabbeinu Hananel?
If you're going on the Mediterranean.
What difference it make whether you leave on Wednesday or whether you leave on Sunday? The Torah says, don't leave on Wednesday, but you're allowed to leave on Sunday, right? So what's the issue? Why is it permitted to embark more than 3 days before Shabbos? And all the Rishonim reject Rabbeinu Hananel for two reasons. First of all, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, I don't understand why this prohibition is lifted at the beginning of the week. You still have the problem of Chutz L'Tchum when you travel on Shabbos. And secondly, they reject Rabbeinu Hananel because they don't believe that the laws of Tchumen apply in the case of a ship. But let's go on to number three. That's the Rif. Okay, the Rif says, this is fascinating, that the reason why you don't embark on a ship over, that's going to travel over Shabbos is because the mitzvah of Shabbos is Oneg Shabbos. And when a person travels by ship, he suffers from seasickness. Right? He gets a little bit, shall I say, his stomach is a little bit upset. He may get nauseous. And therefore, Chazal say that since he has to be in a state of joy on Shabbos, he has to eat delectable, beautiful food and tasty food, therefore, he should not be suffering on a boat.
He's never been on a current cruise ship.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. So again, I'm going to ask you to just understand this conceptually, and then we're going to get to the reality and see how contemporary issues are going to dress. So just bear with me for another few minutes. We're almost ready. Therefore, since people commonly get seasick during the first 3 days of boat travel due to the constant motion, and we are concerned that the traveler will not properly be able to enjoy Shabbos, then he has to be on the boat for at least 3 days before Shabbos, because the average person will adjust to the boat's motion after 3 days. This is the Rif, which is number what? Mm-hmm. Number three. Am I right, David?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is fascinating because we're learning about, you know, seasickness and how to get used to the ship. Number four is the Ramban. The Ramban says that this prohibition applies in a case where most of the passengers on the boat are Jewish. Why should that make any difference? Says the Ramban that in order to embark on a journey with a ship, there's certain malachos, certain violations of Shabbos that will occur. For example, sometimes the ship might involve tying knots and other things. He says the following. Who's running the ship? Who's the captain? Let's assume he's a non-Jew. If he's a non-Jew, he's not enjoined from doing malach on Shabbos. That's no problem. But we are not allowed to appoint a non-Jew to do work for us on Shabbos. Anybody know what that's called? When a non-Jew does work for you, he's commissioned to, what? Shabbos Goy. Okay, that's interesting. But in a conceptual sense, it's called Amir Oli Akum. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Amir Oli Akum means that you're not allowed to tell a guy to do malacha for you. Says the Ramban, if the majority of the passengers on the ship are non-Jews, then he's considered to have been doing the malacha for the non-Jews when he's riding the ship, when he's in. But if on the other hand, the members of the ship, the passengers on the ship, I should say, are Jewish, then even though the crew members are not Jewish, they're doing malach on behalf of the Jews. So this is going to be a problem, which again we'll pick up later, in a case of a cruise that's made up of majority Jewish people. Then we get to number five. What number five is? Tosfos. There are two Tosfos in here. One Tosfos is in Shabbos, the other Tosfos is in Masechta Erev. And now we're talking about Tosfos in Shabbos. Tosfos in Shabbos says you're not allowed to swim on Shabbos because you're floating on the water. And that has to do with a shvus, because we're afraid that if you go swimming, maybe you'll build a raft and that'll make it easier for you to get from one point to the other. And Tosfos insists that traveling by ship is also considered like swimming. And again, we're going to have to ask the following question: why then are you allowed to travel on ship if you embark 3 days in advance? So he says the following: that once we impose upon the Jew a requirement that he leaves on this cruise 3 days in advance, he already remembers Shabbos. He's already thinking about Shabbos, and that will be enough to deter him from violating the Shabbos. When he leaves within close proximity to Shabbos, then he is included under the Shavuos. Number six, Tosfos in Erevin. He says the prohibition is based on the fact that the traveler might come to pilot the ship for a distance of 4 amos. Now, a sea is called a carmelit. Have you ever heard of a carmelit?
Yeah.
Carmelit is neither a private area nor a public area. Theoretically, it's public in the sense that anyone's allowed to go in there, like a forest and so forth, but no one actually goes there on a regular basis. You know, there are a few people that travel there. So he says that this area, which is called an ocean or a sea, since it's an unenclosed area where anyone could go in there, it has the status of a carmelit. Now, by requiring that you go 3 days in advance, he recognizes that he might have a fear of violating the Shabbos, and that will be enough to remind him that he's not allowed to pilot the ship. He has to make sure that the crew is a non-Jewish crew. And finally, number seven is the Rashbam. The Rashbam says that the reason why we prohibit travel on those 3 days before Shabbos is based on a Mishnah of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that you're not allowed to start a malacha on Erev Shabbos unless it will be finished before Shabbos. Again, this is totally foreign to us because we passing like Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai says you can't put a pot of food on the fire on Friday unless you guarantee that it will be cooked before Shabbos. Again, halacha l'maisa, you could put raw food right before Shabbos. You have to make sure it's totally raw, but that's a different discussion. That's Beis Hillel. But Beit Shammai says you can't start something on Erev Shabbos that will continue on Shabbos. And he says that based on this shita of Beit Shammai, we will prohibit going off on this trip because we are going to violate the Shabbos. We're not violating the Shabbos, but we're setting up a system where ultimately there will be a violation of Shabbos. And then he tries to understand why there's a violation of Shabbos by the ship traveling, but you're not allowed to do this. Everyone rejects the Rashbam. So in effect, you have seven answers, one of which is totally rejected. That's the Rashbam, because we don't paskin like Beit Shammai. We never accepted Beit Shammai that you're not allowed to start something that will continue on Shabbos. And Rabbeinu Chananel, which was number two, is also very iffy. Is it that we have to worry about the fact that the ship will dip below 35 inches? That's how shallow the water is, and that's a violation of Tchum.
I've only got six, but Tosfos was two, right?
Yeah, there were two different Tosfos in, right? Let's go over the two, just to make sure we have all seven here. The first Tosfos, with Tosfos Shabbos, says that we're worried about floating or swimming. The second Tosfos says we're worried about piloting the ship, and if we pilot the ship, then if we go Dalet Amis, that's considered a violation of the Shabbos.
That's the same as Rabbeinu Hananel.
No, Rabbeinu Hananel is worried about Tchum.
Wow.
He's not worried about a real, you know, a violation of a malacha, piloting the ship. He's worried about leaving the Tchum of Shabbos, which means you're on the ground. Again, a ship is not on the ground, but it might dip below the 10 Tfachim where... That's called Lovet. If you, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the ground is considered to rise up 10 Tfachim above the ground. So, Rabosai, what we want to do now is talk about Wednesday. That's number one. Are you allowed to embark on this cruise on Wednesday? Is Wednesday considered a 3-day prohibition? What would you say according to the Baal Amar, the first of the seven?
No, you cannot, because Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the first half of the week. Wednesday, Thursday,
excellent.
Friday, and the second.
According to the Baal Amar, only the first half of the week is considered Me'achori Shabbos. Once you hit Wednesday, you're already in the 3-day period of time, which is within the boundaries of Shabbos. The Rush, on the other hand, says that with regard to seasickness, which was the Rif, if you remember, what number was that? Number 3. He says that that prohibition refers explicitly to Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, because again, it takes them 3 days to get used to the motion of the ship. And if he leaves on a Thursday, then he only has those 2 days of preparation, and by the time he gets to Shabbos, he still is going to be suffering from what? From seasickness. Therefore, he has to leave, but he's allowed to leave on a Wednesday, so that by the time he gets to Shabbos, he's already used to the motion of the the Vilna Gaon Paskins, like the Rush and the Rif, and therefore he allows you to embark on Wednesday. According to the Baal Amar, you would not be allowed to embark on Wednesday. Question number 2. What happens if the ship docks before Shabbos within those 3 days? So I left on a Sunday, and what happens on these cruises, even in modern society, is that they give you a day to walk around the island, and then re-embark, right? You re-embark, and you're within 3 days. So the author of this article, I'll just tell you his name for a second. Okay, anybody know San Jose? Well, okay, Yaakov is not. Yaakov, you know San Jose.
Yes.
Does the name Zvi Goldberg mean anything to you?
Actually, there's a Zvi Goldberg in La Jolla.
And there's a shul there by the name of Avas Torah. Have you heard of such a shul? Anyway, he was...
That's in Portland.
Okay, Avas Torah is every city in the world. Anyway, at least back about 10 years ago, this young man was a rabbi. Now he's a Talmud of Rav Herschel Schechter. You're all familiar with him. And he asked Rav Herschel Schechter, "Are you allowed to disembark and re-embark within Shabbos if you started the trip at the beginning of the week?" And Rav Schechter said that reboarding is a continuation of the original trip, and as long as the trip commenced during a permissible time, let's call it Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, then you're allowed to disembark and then get back on the ship before Shabbos. Interesting. Okay. Now, I'm going to fast forward, and let's see what happens in our modern life. Okay, then?
Excuse me.
He calls this application of Rishonim to current times. Okay, then? So let's go through this very quickly. He says the following. In Shulchan Aruch, there are 3 opinions that are quoted. The Baal Amar, the Rif, and Rabbeinu Hananel. So we have to take into account the issues of tchumen, of seasickness, and danger. Right? Let's go over it again. According to Baal Amar, we're worried about danger, that you might have to violate the Shabbos. According to the Rif, we're worried about seasickness. And according to Rabbeinu Hananel, we're worried about tchumen. Number 1, let's forget about Rabbeinu Hananel. Why? Because modern cruise ships, there's no problem with tchumin, because cruise ships are so large that they're always sailing in water that is deeper than 10 tfachim. Is that true? I don't know.
Yeah,
I have to Google it. All right?
It is. You've got to...
Okay, I mean, I can't argue with him because...
In the old times, I can't see a boat that would be able to...
You would be stuck in the sand. You wouldn't be moving.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
I guess their ships was much smaller than our ships. In any event, let's now try to understand modern cruises according to the RIF. The RIF is worried about what? Seasickness. One could claim that on modern cruise ships, which are like floating hotels, this should be no concern at all. The Rambam, in fact, permits travel on a river because there's no seasickness on a river. Modern cruise ships, even over an ocean, are more comfortable than boats of earlier times on a river. This is the reality. Now we're getting down to the not conceptual, but the physical reality. He says that if the Rambam is not worried about seasickness on a boat over a river, how much more so in the case of contemporary cruise ships, which are more comfortable than a boat traveling over a river. Modern cruise. Now here he quotes. Okay, I'm going to read to you a quote that he has from a book called Fodor's Worldwide Cruises. Anybody familiar with that? Oh, we'll order a copy here for the A. McLaren section. Anyway, so this Mr. Fodor writes the following. Modern cruise ships, unlike their earlier transatlantic predecessors, are relatively motion-free vessels with computer-controlled stabilizers. Right. They sail in comparatively calm waters. Okay. So far, so good. We may have solved the problem according to the RIF. Now, we're going back about 8 centuries in time to the time of the Meiri, if you ever heard of the Meiri. And the Meiri writes that in my time, right, he says in these times, but I'm saying in my time, meaning the Meiri's time, this is 7 centuries ago, we should be permitted to embark within 3 days because of the expert abilities of the ship hands. And there's not much stress for the passengers. I know a lot of people, by the way, who will not go on a cruise because they're afraid of seasickness. I don't know if you know any people like that. And then he goes on and he quotes a tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer lived, or I should say he died recently, maybe he died 15 years ago, I don't know how long ago. And he says the following. That even though the boats today do not toss in the sea, yet the waves and constant motions can often wreak havoc on one's equilibrium, and there are definitely people who do get seasick even on cruise ships. Now again, he wrote this at least 15 years ago. Maybe he's not aware of the most advanced cruise ships. Then the Yalkut Yosef, Rav Avad Yosef, writes that even though from the Meiri we could find support for those who embark even on Erev Shabbos, nevertheless it's not clear that we should permit this as a proper course of action because we have heard that many people get seasick when traveling over the ocean even nowadays. Then he quotes another tshuva which says that there's something called lo plug. What that means is the following, that when Chazal make an enactment for reasons of X, Y, and Z, even if those reasons are no longer applicable, the prohibition still applies. Does anybody know of an example of that? Okay, anybody have any pills on them?
Yeah.
I know you'll have to take pills on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that they prohibited taking pills on Shabbos unless you're a choler, because in the old days they did something called what? Who remembers?
Shchitas,
excellent. Shchitas hanamanim. Yaakov's right. They would grind it. Who grinds pills today? You know what I mean? You go to some of the old time pharmacies, there's one here in the neighborhood, and you'll see it still has like a fossil of the pest. What's it called? The pestle and the what? And the water, right? But who? When was the last time you did such a thing? Okay.
We have 2 days of shmuas in Chutz Laurits because of Lo Plug. I mean, that every other day you only had a week or two from the SCOTUS to know. But here,
okay, I can give you 1,000 examples of low cook, but the main principle is that when the Chazal prohibits something for a reason, if that reason no longer applies, then the enforcement, the enactment is still in force. For example, we don't do malach on Erev Pesach because of the Korban Pesach. Today we don't have a Korban Pesach, so why can't we do malach on Erev Pesach? And that's again an example of what we call low plug. And there are many examples. I myself, by the way, you know that we don't do wild dancing on Shabbos. You know about that? Again, I'm not telling you what you see, but I'm telling you what the halacha is right now. The halacha is not happy with wild dancing. And the reason for that is called Shemi Yitakin Kli Shir. That when you get carried away with this kind of a celebration on Shabbos, you might come to use a musical instrument or fix up a musical instrument. I myself saw, I'm not going to tell you where I saw it, but let me just suffice it saying, not far from here at all. I myself saw on a Friday night that people got so carried away with the singing and the dancing that they started banging on the teva. And I was wondering if that's called creating a cliché when you make something into a drum and you make drum music. Not only that, a teva, my friends, is used for what purpose? I'm not talking about the small teva up front, which is used for the balashats. I'm talking about the larger teva. What's that used for? Anybody know? For Kriyas HaTorah. Well, I have you know, the Gemara says at the end of Megillah that a teva for Kriyas HaTorah has the din of Kedushas Migdash. You're not allowed to make it into a drum. So again, I don't want to, you know, you'll have to talk to the local Orthodox rabbi about this, you know. But I've seen things here on Friday night that are absolutely against halacha. And it's very nice, you know, we live in the Shlomo Kalbach era, which is great, you know. But there are all sorts of halachic issues. For example, because of Shlomo Kalbach, I don't mean Shlomo Kalbach, I mean the whole culture, the Shliach Tzibur, he sees his yard side. The goal of the Shliach Tzibur is to get you to sing, which is great, except during Kedusha, the halacha is that I have to hear the Shliach Tzibur. I can't hear the Shliach Tzibur because the people in the audience are drowning out his voice. So I worked out with Rabbi Wieder here for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that he should repeat all the critical parts even after we sing them. I don't know if you... Sometimes he looks to me and he wants to know whether he should repeat it or not. I try to stand a little closer to him so I can hear what he's saying. In any event, we have this principle called Lo Klug. So the Bach comes up with a new twist on understanding the Rift. The Bach lived about 4.5 centuries ago and he writes that it's not motion that makes people ill, but rather it's the air. Now, I don't know, we have to ask, you know, again, you're going to have to Google, this is not the conceptual part of our discussion, this is the physical reality part of the discussion. He says that when you're out at sea, the air is salty, and there's a certain sirachon, it's hard to translate that word, in the air, and when you breathe that air, it can have a negative effect on you. So I don't think we want to publicize this in the, you know, amongst the cruise advertisers. By the way, I was in a French minion. I picked up one of their journals. You know, they have a journal in French. I don't read a word of French, but one thing I can tell you, they were advertising about 15 different cruise ships.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
and I don't think I want to publicize
our tidbits also.
That's our tidbits. Anything you open up today, like, you know, every other page has an advertisement for a cruise ship. So I don't want to publicize this Bach. I mean, everybody says I'm going to go on a cruise ship. There's no seasickness on a cruise ship, and the Bach says that you get sick from the air that you breathe on the ship. I don't know. What can I tell you? We'll have to Google it.
Would I be correct in saying that if you get seasick, you're now considered a chola? So since you're a chola, there would be no issue with taking an anti.
Right, but on Shabbos you're not going to get, no matter what you take. I mean, if you got sick, I have my own issues with my good old stomach. Yeah, for many years I wanted to trade it in for another model. But I have to tell you this: once you're sick, I mean, you can offer me the most delicious steak with, you know, sizzling out of the oven. I can't even look at it. And I love steak. I'm a Berzon. Berzons are meat eaters. If you're not a meat eater, we know you're not a Berzon. We have to check your yichus, right? But if you're not feeling well, you know, where's your own Shabbos? He goes on to say that for every person will say that the trip doesn't bother him. In other words, once you have a vested interest in going on a cruise, you can always make the claim, you know what, the trip doesn't bother me. But there are at least a minority of people who do get a little bit sick on a cruise. And I was told that this is true even today. I'm not sure, but that's what I was told, and that's number one. However, so that's the riv. So again, we've already squared with Rabbeinu Chananel. There's no problem with Chum. Our cruise ships are going on in deep water. Number two, as far as the riff is concerned, we basically solved the problem of seasickness unless we assume that people are still getting seasickness on a cruise today, and if we assume like the Rav Avadia Yosef, the issue of low plume. Now we go on to the third logical reason, which is first on your list of Baal HaMor, and the Baal HaMor says that you might have to violate the Shabbos with regard to dangerous situations that might apply. It would seem that there's no concern in the modern day ships on the ocean for danger. Ships are no longer the dangerous means of travel that they once were. Therefore, there's no worry about the possible necessity of Chil Shabbos. On the other hand, he says, we have to worry about the Ramban. The Ramban says that there's the crew, and they are violating the Shabbos in many different ways, and they're doing it on your behalf. The answer is, who are most of the customers, most of the passengers on the ship? They're mostly non-Jews. Again, if you're going on a kosher cruise, what happens is usually some entrepreneur will decide that he wants to take X number of cabins for his people who are Orthodox Jews, but the majority of the people on the ship, on the cruise, are not Jewish. They're probably non-Jews. However, if Jews do comprise the majority of the passengers, the crew is viewed as doing malacha on behalf of the Jews. And therefore, according to Ramban, we have a problem of Amira La'akar. So he tries to solve this problem with something called autopilot. Have you ever heard of autopilot? He says it could be that the boat could run without a malacha. How is that so that the boat will run without any malacha? After all, you have to pilot this ship. He says there's something called autopilot. However, he says, although one of the poskim tried to use this as a heter for embarking within 3 days of the trip, he says the scope of this lenient position due to autopilot is very limited. Because at certain points, like for example, when negotiating narrow straits or congested areas, or when docking in a port, autopilot cannot be used. So again, there's got to be a human intervention, even in a case of autopilot. Therefore, this leniency of autopilot has to be studied in great detail. Okay, so number one, let's try to see if we can come to some conclusions. Would somebody be allowed to embark on a cruise within 3 days of Shabbos? And we said that Wednesday is considered before the 3 days according to the Vilna Gaon. And the contemporary authorities are concerned with problems of seasickness even today. The Beis Yosef on the other end says that if you depart close to Shabbos, we will not censure you, because you could rely on the Ramban that the issue of going close to Shabbos is because of the Amir La'akum issue, that the crew is working on behalf of the Jews, but we're going to rely on the heter of the Ramban that if the majority of passengers are non-Jews, there's no problem Amir La'akum. The Beit Yosef therefore embraces the sheet of the Ramban, and therefore in most cases it's okay. However, if we accept the other views, let's go through them once more time. If we accept the Rabbeinu Chananel, we're going to assume that there's no problem of Tchum, the ships don't go below 10 Tvachim. If we go with the Baal HaMor, and the Baal HaMor was worried about the possibility of Chil Shabbos. We're going to say that our ships are much more safe and more secure, and it's very rare that we would have to find that we'd be encounter a dangerous situation. Interesting how he closes this essay. He concludes it by saying the following: there may be other halachic issues in holidays at sea. For example, mixed swimming, crossing the international date line. I would love, if you're interested, to talk about the date line. That would be next week if you're around. Docking on Shabbos, meaning they expect you to get off the ship on Shabbos. That's an issue. Kosher supervision on a ship. Shabbos problems that are electrical devices on board. That's also a hotel problem today. Almost every hotel is, you know, you walk into sometimes the floor and the lights go on, even before you get to your room. He says all these issues have to be taken under advisement. Also on a hashkafic level, when does a person go out on vacation? When does he close the Gemara and he has to go out on vacation? Is the atmosphere, he doesn't mean the physical atmosphere that the Bach was speaking about, is the atmosphere on a cruise appropriate for a Torah Jew? Is that the vacation that he wants to go on? And then you have the issues of Shabbos and even issues of Yontif. So we may come to the conclusion that cruises are permitted, but we're not sure if they're appropriate. Okay, that's as far as cruises are concerned.
Doesn't speak about this. If the cruise is supposed to arrive on Friday morning.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's not an issue. I mean, the Gemara is talking about a case where the cruise is going to continue on Shabbos.
On Shabbos, okay.
Now, I gave you an article which is written by Rabbi Jason Wiener called Praying with a Minyan on an Airplane. Uh-huh. Now, I want you to know, and you probably know it anyway without my telling you, that there are literally hundreds of Orthodox Jews who travel by train to work on a daily basis here in Israel. They go from Yerushalayim to Modi'in to Ben Gurion to Tel Aviv, and they come back, and there is a special car for davening. They even have a Sefer Torah on the train. That's one thing. But we're talking about a plane. I have never seen, although I'm sure it will happen, that an airplane will have a special cabin for tefillah mitzvah. You know, I've never seen that. It's going to happen eventually, you know, when the Orthodox Jews are rich enough to own their own planes. But the question of a minyan on a plane is a twofold question. And I think in the 5 minutes we have, I'll just present the issue to you. On the one end, the halacha not only advocates, but puts a tremendous emphasis on tefillah b'tzibur. The Gemara tells us that when a yachid davens on his own, you don't know if God will accept your prayers, but we're always guaranteed that our prayers will go up when we're davening as part of a tzibur. The Gemara tells us that when you daven b'tzibur, you could achieve what's called kiddushas Hashem. You have kaddish, and you have kiddusha, and you have barchu, and you have Chazor Sashatz. And the main thing is, you'll have Kriyas HaTorah, because there's no Kriyas HaTorah without a minyan. My Rebbe used to say about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that on his way on a trip from Brisk to Bialystok, he would get off the train in order to find a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. That's how important Kriyas HaTorah is. And we could go on and extol the virtue of tefillah b'tzibur. I don't have to tell you this because you're all Baruch Hashem people who daven b'tzibur, make a tremendous effort to daven b'tzibur, and that's because of the significance of davening b'tzibur. How much more so in case of an Avel, Rachmana Litzlan, he needs to get a minyan for Kaddish. Now we go to the other extreme, the other polar extreme. What happens when a group of Orthodox Jews gets together and forms a minyan on a plane? Take a look at this handout that I gave you on page 48. He says the following: people on a long trip by plane are struggling to get hours of sleep. it's a real uphill battle. In fact, many people prefer a night flight so they think they can get some sleep on the plane. What happens when people get up for a minyan? First of all, they disturb other passengers who would like to get some sleep. They may justify waking up the guy next to them because they think he has to daven b'tzibur. Well, maybe he doesn't want you to wake him up. Not only that, they clog up the aisles, they compromise the safety of the flights, but most important is they incur the anger sometimes of the stewardesses. Now, it's told that there are... Jeremy, do you go EasyJet?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. Somebody told me... Oh, I tell you who told me. Michael's... What's his name? Michael Isaacs told me that on EasyJet they actually make an announcement that any Orthodox Jews who want to daven, now's the time. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. Sometimes it is that. But the funny thing is, once there was an announcement saying those who want to pray go back to plane, but only a maximum of 8 people.
Yeah, very interesting.
I heard that also.
Very interesting. So in that case, maybe you get 2 people to sit in the row right near the other 8. I don't know. Very interesting. I was told that Virgin Airlines also will make such an announcement. I'm not sure on which flights and when.
I came in on United 3 weeks ago, and they were fine for Shachri to let us...
Was it a night flight?
It was a night, starts at night, and morning comes so fast when you're coming, you know, from going eastward, you know.
So oh, you're traveling...
From New York here, so you start at midnight, but in 3 hours...
Right, I understand.
Hours, the sun's coming.
That could be a discussion for next week about...
But they would say, okay, they...
United, it was okay.
They let us have that middle galley back and forth. People were all over. And as long as there's no problem...
Okay. So here he quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who's one of the final decisors here in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, I am opposed to forming minyanim during a flight because it disturbs other people, passengers on the flight. And this reminds me, my friends, of the father of the Musa movement. Anybody know who formed the Musa movement? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. They asked him, his Talmidim were baking matzahs in the local bakery. So they asked Rabbi Yisrael, what chumash should they take on? Because, you know, there are questions about the flour that is in the air that it might kiss, or waiting from one baking to the other. He said, if you want to get kosher matzahs, be careful. The woman who runs this bakery is a widow who is elderly and very sensitive. Make sure that you don't insult her. That's what will get you kosher matzahs. And basically what Rabbi Yisrael established was that we sometimes forget that Bein Adam L'Chavero is more important than Bein Adam L'Mako. And he went on to say in a different story that they shouldn't take too much water to wash their Netil Sidai, because in those days they had the water carrier. So you're imposing on the water carrier. So do the barest minimum for Netil Sidai. And when you put your talus on, I mean, this happens to me all the time. I get hit by Yenim's talus, you know, because he wraps his talus around. So it's very nice that you're makbid on Bein Adam L'Makom, but be careful about Bein Adam L'Chavero. And because of this, Rav Shlomo Zalman simply said, I'm opposed to forming minyanim. It just disturbs the other passengers. Now, it's interesting because on page 50 here of this article, he raises the following question. Why is tefillah b'tzibur so important? Because of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So when you daven b'tzibur, there's an overlap of the mitzvah of tefillah together with the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And especially in Kaddish, when we say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Meirabah, that is Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is only in the presence of 10 Jews. But he says that if people are getting angry at you, and they see the way Orthodox Jews disturb others, and how much more so if the stewardesses are getting angry because you're disturbing them, they want to bring the food up and down the aisles, and you're clogging up the aisles, then you end up with Chilul Hashem. Yeah. So it's paradoxical. An Avel has to recite Kaddish. And what's the purpose of an Avel reciting Kaddish? Kiddush Hashem. And he's going to do it in a way that creates Chilul Hashem. He says on page 53, if a Torah scholar would cause a Chilul Hashem, desecrating a divine name, then the poskim say he shouldn't come late to shul, if let's say he's late, Now you'll see this in footnote number 16 in the Mishnah Berurah on page 53. He says that's because of Chil Hashem. How much more so will it be Chil Hashem if Torah scholars are making a minyan and they are disturbing others? And therefore, he says that we ought to forego praying with a minyan for the sake of avoiding Chil Hashem. And if the minyan on the plane is disruptive to the flight crew, and not only to the flight crew, but to one's fellow passengers, these are issues of Chil Hashem. On page 54, he emphasizes the mitzvah of Ava, of loving your neighbor, the Ahavta L'Rech Kamocha, which according to Hillel is the Klal Gadol BaTorah. Rabbi Kiva said that this is what we have to teach a person, and the value of Kavod, to have human dignity, is Darcheh Darchei Noam, is absolutely paramount in Jewish law. If religious Jews are well behaved, when they observe the law with pleasantness, and they show that the ways of the Torah is pleasant, they're not rowdy, they don't disturb others in prayer, that is a great Kiddush Hashem. But on the other hand, on page 55, if a person is guilty of creating a Chil Hashem, then how could you say that his Kaddish is meaningful? He goes on to tell us that the most profound prohibition, most serious prohibition in setting up a minyan on a plane, especially during a night flight, is what's called Gezel Shena on page 56. For pages and pages, he has a discussion about Gezel Shena, if I disturb your sleep. Imagine you're desperate for sleep, and I disturb it by setting up a minyan. I have to get out because I'm sitting in a window seat, or I have to, if I'm the Shliach Tzibur, and the Tzibur has to raise their voices, there's blocking aisles. All this is called Gezel Shena. And he vacillates back and forth about the severity of Gezel Shena, of disturbing someone's sleep. He quotes a tshuva from Rav Sternbach on page 59 that it could be that Gezel Shena is more severe than stealing. Because when you steal something, there's always the possibility of returning it. That's not so in the case of Gezel Shena, because he lost that sleep. It's going to be hard for him to fall asleep again. And he says, you know what? If you're going to lose the Zman Tefillah, in other words, the clock says that you only have a few minutes, then you should daven in your seat. And it could be that you should daven without talis and tefillin. Again, he has a long discussion about this on page 60.
Wow.
And then he goes on to say that there are all sorts of issues in davening on a plane. One of which shouldn't be underestimated, is the issue of davening in close proximity to the bathroom. Because we're not allowed to daven when there's a smell from the bathroom. He goes on to say that in addition, women are not necessarily dressed properly, and when you set up a minyan, inevitably someone is going to be davening next to a woman who's exposing parts of her body that might be erva. So there's a host of problems here that apply to flights. I would say the following, just as a summary, and then I'll let you go, is that on day flights, it's a little bit less severe. Again, people sleep on day flights too. But usually you can work it out with the staff, with the crew, that you can have a place that's a little bit away from the rest of the passengers. But again, even so, I don't know. But a night flight where, you know, people are desperate to get their sleep and you're disturbing, and to go ahead and also set up a minyan without asking permission from the crew, and especially if there's turbulence, that I think we have to go back to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. We have to say it's prohibited. Rav Moshe Feinstein says better to daven in your seat, even in a sitting position if you can't daven in a standing position. And that's what we have to do. See, so I'll just end with a hiratzon. We should be zocha to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah, to be careful about Shabbos, to be careful about sneers, to be careful about dedicating ourselves to Torah mitzvahs, to not in any way create a Chil Hashem, but on the contrary, in Ritz Hashem, we should all strive for Kiddush Hashem. Katie, but so.
Bottom line, do you get on a cruise ship on a Friday?
I would say the following. If the cruise ship is. Most of the passengers are non-Jews, then it's less of an issue. The only issue that you're left with is seasickness. And again, here we have two different issues. Number one, is there some sort of seasickness in the modern day cruises? I don't know. You'll have to check that out. And number two, is there a low plug? Which means that since they enacted it, you can't undermine that enactment. So Rav Avadia Yosef is not happy about people embarking on a Thursday or a Friday. Other poskim are a little bit more lenient, but the honest truth is most of the poskim seem to be opposed. They really want you to leave on Wednesday. Again, some poskim will say don't leave later than Tuesday, but we're going to accept those poskim who will allow you to leave on Wednesday. All right, then? David?
With the seasickness story, what if it's like 1 in 100 people get seasick? What's the ratio?
I think it...
Do we have to make a rule based on the
So I think halachic statistical probability is called 16%, which is 1/6.
Right.
So, for example, if I overcharge you more than 16%, that's significant enough for you to back out of the deal. So 16% seems to be in halachic terms. That's still quite
a significant number, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for example, if you would ask me how many ships are in danger today, I don't think it would be anywhere near 16%. It wouldn't even come to a percentage, I don't think.
Right.
But if you're asking about seasickness, I don't know.
Cape Horn, for example, you've got a good chance of getting seasick.
Because there's more motion.
But they're just going.
And where is that cape? It's
South America.
South America.
Rabbi, there are a number of ships now that are mostly Jewish, and I guess they must be docking from Erev Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos. Because you're always tying a knot. You can tie a knot very easily, nothing else.
David, I can take this?
Sure.
I'm going to sell it on eBay.
I'll only take a 16% commission.
Of course, it has your Xaviad Kutcher. But thanks. I appreciate that.